T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Matt Spiegel, Steve Rosenblum with you. Up till 2 o'clock, about 1:40, we will do Transition with Julie DeCaro, Maggie Hendricks. Right now, we're going to give you a chance to win another pair of tickets. See Billy Joel at Notre Dame Stadium next summer. It'd be June 20th, exactly. Call our contest line, 6th caller, to 312-591-6700. You may be right, I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. All right, so we're told that David Freese announced his retirement on Twitter.
He did.
Shouldn't he have announced it in the batter's box, pinch hitting in the eighth? Isn't that what he is? Or somehow, and it's appropriate that it happens in October.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but I love this because the legend of David Freese, right, is always October.
Yeah, crazy amount of postseason moments.
There's a hockey guy, Claude Lemieux, used to be that kind of guy. That would have 3 goals in the regular season and he'd score 80 in the playoffs. He'd be that kind of guy. So last week when the Dodgers were actually still alive.
Oh, by the way, Anibal Sanchez referred to them last night in his postgame. He was talking about his last time out against the Dodgers, but he called them what you have always called them and always gives me pause, but he said it for real because that's just how he pronounces it.
The Doyers.
Yes.
They have there is a concession at Doyer Stadium called the Doyer Dog. It's called the Doyer Dog.
He said it.
Yes.
I don't know if it's among the Anibal Sanchez cuts we have from postgame last night, but there it was. It was
It's called the Doyer Dog.
Yeah.
So David Freese delivers a pinch single. Dodgers are rallying against Washington back when Washington was dead and the Dodgers were alive and whatever. It was game 3. He became the first player in almost 60 years to come off the bench and collect at least 3 hits in a postseason game. The last to do it, can you name him? This is a quiz you weren't expecting.
No, it isn't.
A name I never would have pulled out.
60 years?
Go back to the 1960 Yankees. Exactly 1960, not the Yankees of the 60s. It was Game 6 of the World Series that famously ended in Game 7 when the most unbelievable home run was hit.
Bill Mazeroski hit the home run.
But there is if you played Strat-O-Matic baseball like I did and you had one of the Yankees teams from the early 60s, you would know this name.
Not for me, no.
Johnny Blanchard.
Okay.
Johnny Blanchard. So anyways, David Freese, so he gets all these questions. You come off the bench, it's October, you're really something else in October.
Yeah.
And his answer was, I don't know, man. I'm not that terrible in the regular season. I just love that.
I will forever think of David Freese as the guy who hits the home run for the Cardinals to force a Game 7 of the World Series.
And wasn't
against the Rangers.
One of the greatest broadcast lines ever.
Of all time.
An homage to his father.
Joe Buck was able to pull out in real time in a near identical situation.
Mm-hmm.
A walk-off homer and say, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, I love that.
He didn't say it like his dad said it for Kirby Puckett.
No.
When the Twins forced a Game 7 against Charlie Liebrandt and the Atlanta Braves. But he said it like himself. But he said the exact same thing with the same pacing the same time.
I don't care how many times you are Jack Buck's son and you practice that to have, like you said, to do it in real time,
yep.
The presence of mind, the poise, I love that moment.
Me too.
I love that moment for baseball history, for broadcast, because there are a lot of lines that become that become iconic in the course of, because of broadcast. The Giants mm-hmm. win the pennant is one of the most famous that Russ Hodges is screaming and screaming sure. and screaming.
How about another another Jack Buck? I can't believe what I just saw.
Go crazy.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. That's another Jack Buck.
And the best one, I always fall back to this, of all of the Vin Scully lines, and this would include time-stamping Sandy Koufax's perfect game against the Cubs. For all of those of you who get on Len Casper for talking about a no-hitter, Vin Scully timestamped it, 9:41 in the City of Angels, Sandy mm-hmm. Koufax runs his hands through his black hair, and he is two strikes away from a perfect game. I mean, it just, he timestamped it, and he said he did it so Sandy and his family would have that much more detail of the moment. But one of the things, one of the most famous home runs in World Series history
mm-hmm.
was met by essentially silence. Vinny got out of the way. And the best line was, and look who's coming up
yep.
before he hit the home run off Eckersley. And then he just laid out and the fans carried it, which was always amazed me about, if you remember the moment I made my kids sit down with me when Cal Ripken broke Gehrig's record.
And then he did
not until the fifth inning, though, right?
Had to be an official game.
It's done, being done by ESPN. I wanted my kids to watch it. Just, okay, mom was away. Mia, we're going to watch this game. This guy showed up for work every day. He played baseball at a high, exceptional level. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. ESPN's doing it. Chris Berman yeah. is doing it.
That's right.
Chris Berman laid out. Chris Berman, shut up. The most unbelievable part, more unbelievable than somebody breaking Gehrig's record.
Was Chris Berman laying out?
Yeah. Was Chris Berman shutting up during that moment? As you talk about that lap, that when it became official, right?
Yeah.
They dropped the banner in the outfield, right? And Chris Berman shut up. It's like, maybe they shut his mic off. For all I know, they shot his mic off. But he didn't say anything. That was an amazing thing.
How about it's good stuff. An interesting clash of styles and moments, not Styles and Roman. Rest in peace, that show. Good men. fine men.
Talking radio history here. Mm-hmm. Broadcast Museum's going to want this piece and that.
How about Don and Roma? No.
Just and Roma.
I meant Steve and Johnny.
Yeah.
My mistake.
And Johnny.
And Styles and Roman all together. Steve and Johnny, Styles and Roman, Don and Roma all together. Hanging out, making radio. No, last night, the styles of Juan Soto and Miles Michaelis. Did you see this last night? Juan Soto took several pitches for the Washington Nationals, and every time he takes a pitch, he grabs his crotch. And I do believe uh-huh. it's just a habit, but it sure comes off to the pitcher like you're grabbing your crotch in the direction of the pitcher,
mm-hmm.
as if to say,
yeah,
take this, I'm not going to swing at your pitch. And then Juan Soto grounds out. And as he is walking off the field, Miles Michaelis, that was the last out, I believe, of the fifth inning, he turns away from the camera, knowing full well that the camera's probably on him as he's walking away.
There's a camera
Excellent
for everyone.
Job. He turns his butt to the camera and grabs his package in the direction of Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a package grab to by a package grab.
Bunch
of FedEx employee moments.
Yes.
So though you got that stuff. But then put it...
It's why we watch baseball, to see something you've never seen before.
Juxtapose it with the class of Anibal Sanchez at the end of his 7 2/3 innings of no-hit ball. His no-hitter is broken up by Jose Martinez mm-hmm. of the Cardinals. And the Cardinals fans stand up and applaud Anibal Sanchez. Anibal Sanchez turns and applauds Jose Martinez and says, nice job, you got me.
Yep.
And he looks to the umpire and claps for the ump and says, thank you, this was fun, I almost got there, basically is what he's saying with his body language. And as he's walking off, he's looking at the crowd, thanking them for clapping for him, and tips his cap towards them. And it was just... it was way classier than you expected necessarily to see in the middle of a tense 2-0 playoff game. And it was about three innings after
It turned out better than it started
Yes, it did. Reminded you, oh, yes, people can be decent in this game.
They can be. And it was really a wonderful wonderful moment. And the whole idea that it was Anibal Sanchez. He's the fourth starter. Yeah. He's behind all those 5,000 strikeout guys.
Yeah.
And he's the guy with the I wasn't sure how it was going to go when Yadier Molina got hit because, you know, the Cardinals have this capacity to make something out of nothing.
Sure, they could take a 60-mile-an-hour butterfly pitch
A butterfly kiss, right. And I wasn't sure which way it was going to go, but it was so obvious that was not – that was slower than any batting practice pitch. Yeah. So just go take your base. I wasn't sure which way that was going to go, but it did. We tried to reach Tony Andracki. We're having trouble doing that. So I'll ask you a question. I was going to ask him, too.
Sure.
Mark Gonzalez was asked – should the Cubs take another shot at acquiring Whit Merrifield from the Royals? Gonzo provided three answers.
Okay.
Yes, yes, and yes. Those are three answers. By the way, Gonzo texted me last week when the Bears game ended, and all he said was, "The autumn wind
is a raider." That's all he needed to say.
Autumn wind is a pirate, is a raider. Yeah, that's it. The autumn wind, his walk-up song. So anyways.
Yeah, Whit Merrifield as a top-of-the-order candidate, two straight years of an OPS over 800, OBP of 348 this past year, 367 the year before that. He's not a power guy, but he is a stolen base guy. He is more of a leadoff hitter than they've had since Dexter Fowler, and in a league with very few leadoff hitter types, he would qualify immediately.
Okay, so one of the things that I hadn't realized because I haven't seen this much. I don't know the whole context.
Mm-hmm.
Merrifield has an 82.7% contact rate, about 10% above the Cubs' average.
Yeah.
So I don't know where 82.7% contact rate ranks among your player. What's your replacement player's average?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, what do you think he would cost? What would the price be for solving that, or actually those two problems, right? Right? Oh, I don't know what the price would be and what that contract rate is, but a contact rate.
Yeah, that's high. That's high. That's a nice, solid contact rate. It's what you need. There is, if you ask anybody in baseball these days, what's the hardest thing to teach? A lot of them will say, and I asked this very question to Nick Hosteller of the White Sox front office, was the scouting director, then got moved over towards, he's going to do some work on pro scouting, among other things, within the org. So what's the hardest thing to teach? And he said, contact skills. Hardest thing to teach.
Really?
That if you don't have the hand-eye coordination and the ability to put the bat on the ball, it's really, really difficult to teach that.
Did that surprise you?
It did.
Because?
It surprised me just, because everybody's trying to do it. Everybody's trying to take their sluggers and teach them to be contact guys. So think about it. So everybody's trying to do that. Like, all right, we got our launch angle lineup.
These guys got into the majors because they could make contact. Most of them.
Yeah, but a lot of them these days get into the majors because they can make contact very hard when they do.
Yeah,
and they strike out a lot, and it's okay. It's totally fine. 170, 180 Ks a year. Okay, no big deal. All right, that's fine. But it's starting to be valued a little bit more in the other way, and it's just. It's really difficult to teach. Very few teams can develop and teach contact. And if you got somebody who can do it, it's easier to assume that they might be able to add power than it is to take the power guys and assume that they might be able to add more contact.
Have the Astros changed that? Where do you point the change? The It's such a copycat league.
Yeah.
They're champion 1 year removed. They have a, while the Yankees and Astros, the Yankees and Twins slugged it out for the home run lead, right? The Astros seem to be, right? Fair to say they're a better all around.
Yeah.
Offensive team.
And they seem to have an ability to teach contact. I don't know how they're doing it. But a lot of their guys have gotten better.
Isn't that why you interviewed Joe Espada?
Yeah, bring him here.
One of the reasons the pitchers tipping their pitches?
Absolutely.
I have a question. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll offer more tickets to Billy Joel. And I have a question regarding the Astros and the Cubs as we play Follow the Leader. And you can give me your insight into this.
And by the way, I'm looking at the leaders in MLB in contact rate.
Yes.
And you said Merrifield is 82 and change.
82.7.
Yeah, that puts him 25th in baseball, which is pretty damn good.
Okay, so that would be near the top of the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be good for a leadoff hitter.
Sure, bring it.
Contact more than four-fifths. Yeah, okay. So basically it's contacts. He's got a contact rate like pocket aces. He's not going to make contact. He's going to get cracked 20% of the time. All right, he's Spiegel. I'm Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. Take a break. We come back. Question, Cubs, Astros, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Had to be a big shot, didn't it? You can see this big shot. You can see this big shot at Notre Dame Stadium next summer, June 20th. Be the sixth caller to our contest line, 312-591-6700 for a pair of tickets to see Billy Joel. And I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun.
You know,
that's a great lyric along with, at the same time, I came across... Some they do and some they don't. Some you just can't tell. Some they will, some they won't. With some, it's just as well. Supertramp's Goodbye Stranger.
Ah, yeah, that's a good song.
So, there we go. That's it. Music lyrics. Saturday Suckage, exactly what you expected to hear. I forget what I teased. But you teased a football game that's actually more interesting than the Mitch Trubisky Bowl.
You mentioned Cubs-Astros question, but we can get back to that. How about... do you believe in the 49ers? Do you believe in what Kyle Shanahan has put together with these 49ers? Because Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't even really been very good this year, and yet they're undefeated.
I believe in Kyle Shanahan as, like, would be a great Bears coach.
Oh, my God.
I believe in him a lot. That team, that I don't know, because I just the way it looked like John Lynch pantsed Ryan Pace, mm-hmm. and then what he did with them, the way the team just fell apart, the quarterback, I heard it was just, but Kyle Shanahan makes a lot, he deodorizes a lot of shortcomings.
Atlanta and Matt Ryan had his best year with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was in Cleveland, and Brian Hoyer was leading them towards a potential playoff run. He was in Washington and helped Kirk Cousins get franchised a couple times.
Wow.
Yeah, and now he's out there, and they have like five running backs. Every one of them contributes. It's a fantasy player's nightmare. But that offense is finding a way to be effective. Defensively, they've got Nick Bosa, who looked like a number two pick overall this past Monday night when he played against Baker Mayfield. But this weekend, they get a real test. They get the Rams. And it's the Rams of Los Angeles again against the 49ers. And you, Stevie Sunshine, I can ask you to tell me the last time that the LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers, who once were each other's biggest rival.
Mm-hmm. I remember covering a season of those games. I covered the Rams for a year. It was the strike year. And there would be John Robinson, Bill Walsh shots about the genius going back and forth. And it wasn't just Ditka who thought Bill Walsh was really full of himself.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Bill Walsh had the rings to be the genius.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time they were serious rivals?
The last time that both teams were over 500 and played against each other was 18 years ago.
I was going to say 89 with Everett and Montana.
That's the correct answer for both on the West Coast. 18 years ago, the Rams were in St. Louis with Mike Martz. So, but the Rams
were
49ers.
But we were talking LA, wrote. I remember Jim Everett when he Jim Everett, Joe Montana, right?
With Flipper Anderson. Jim Everett to Flipper Anderson.
Eric Dickerson.
January of 1990 in an NFC championship game. The Rams had already pulled off two upsets on the road, beating the Eagles and the Giants. And the 49ers trounced the Rams in the NFC Championship game by the score of 30-3. And then the 49ers dominated them in the 90s. But it's just the 49ers and Rams, it's a lot of people don't think of it as a thing, but it was most definitively a thing for a long, long time.
It was a natural rivalry. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. That was those two franchises, though. Yeah, and the that I didn't realize that was, wow.
It's a long time. Roger Craig once said about the Rams that the Rams will always be the 49ers' biggest rival. It doesn't matter if they no longer play in Los Angeles. If they played their home games on Mars, it would still be a rivalry.
That's
Roger Craig. But that is among the games I'm legitimately interested in a Bears-less Sunday.
Because
I want to know if the Niners are for real. Because
and if the Rams remain for real.
Yeah. Because the Niners look great on Monday night against the Browns team, which might be a shame.
It was interesting coming out that Joel Bentonio, a Browns lineman, admitted what we would think. And in all sports, we've seen the kind of players, we've seen the Baker Mayfields in all sports, seen several of them in football. When it's quarterback, it's exponential. But when you see a guy who's got a big mouth and his teammates have to know they got to have his back, but there's extra motivation. He admitted it. We see it in guys, opponents, this Browns lineman. We know what Baker Mayfield does just by being Baker Mayfield. We know that motivates guys. We know there's something extra coming. We know that it means more.
That's crazy that he admitted that.
And that they have to, it's more acute protecting him playing that game. But it strikes me as crazy that if you're the other team, really, it takes Baker Mayfield being all Baker Mayfield for you to get up for a game to play your absolute best, to play at your most hellacious?
But now, you're reverse engineering that argument. I would say...
No, but I don't know why it takes that.
It doesn't take that, because you're up for the game, but then him just being a jamoke elevates you a little bit even further than your normal upness. Because he's a
normal upness.
Yeah, you're at your standard level of up.
Upness.
It's just that you look
now
and
it's up yours.
Yeah, you realize that Baker's a jackass and he's right there and you've got the opportunity.
And he is, and you have to do that. Yeah. So there's before I get to my Cubs Astros question for you,
sir.
We were talking about Anibal Sanchez's. He has thrown a no hitter. He almost threw one last night, and there was everybody was getting thanked, right? Everybody's waving, thanked, whatever.
Classy walk offs.
So in his no hitter, there were two home runs when he threw it for the Marlins in 2006.
2006. He's a Marlin. He throws a no hitter.
Two players hit home runs. Can you name them?
2006. Miguel Cabrera.
That's one.
Hanley Ramirez.
No, that was a really nice try.
Okay. Luis Castillo.
No, it's a very nice try. Now you're going through to the 2003 Marlins. You're going to give me I-Rod, too?
Yeah, Moises Alou. No, but he was earlier still.
Josh Beckett.
2006. No, because Anibal Sanchez was traded for Josh Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
Anibal Sanchez and Hanley Ramirez from the Red Sox as part of a five-player deal for Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell.
They all lived happily ever after.
They really did.
Until beer and chicken.
Miguel Cabrera had one of the homers in 2006. Who had the other one? How about Jeff Conine?
Okay. It might help you if I tell you this came from Chris Kamka.
So it's a White Sox.
The Sultan of the SWAT. That's exactly right.
So who was a White Sox player?
Who would play for the Marlins?
Juan Pierre?
Joe Borchard.
Joe
Borchard. Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
Okay, so I found it interesting in reading Sahat of Sharma of The Athletic on, so Madden, this is in the wake of Joe Madden's exit.
Okay.
And Javi Baez is being quoted as talking about adjustments as a team. The game is changing a lot. As a team, we have to make adjustments. You see a lot of teams playing different, getting better every day and doing the small things. That's a conversation that we've been having with the players, trying to see what those changes are, make those adjustments for next year.
Hmm.
So Hadif points out about the game changing in various ways, pointing out the Dodgers, Astros, Yankees have made advancements in areas where the Cubs have faltered. I'll ask you what areas you think they are, but first I want to, the macro question is, did you ever think you would see a Theo Epstein organization be put in the group that got outthought, that got out-edged, that got out-advantaged, or that was out-adjusted? Did you ever think you'd see that?
No.
I mean, they were the one that invented
the whole
Ivy,
thing.
and before that it was...
Carmine.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I never thought that this whole part, the macro of this discussion stunned me in the wake of Joe's exit and what they were talking about. And Theo has become George Steinbrenner Jr. when it comes to hitting and pitching coaches. He just fires them every year. He just keeps changing them. It's just less, because it's not the manager, it's not as out there, but he just keeps firing hitting coaches and pitching coaches. So what would those changes be? And are you as surprised? And or how far behind do you think the Cubs really are?
I don't think they're as far behind as they were a year and a half ago.
Then okay.
I just think it takes a while to catch up once you start to adjust.
So in what areas?
Scouting, drafting.
So you think
the drafting?
Jason McLeod got promoted up? Failed up?
He got...
Did he fail up?
Frankly, he got removed. I can't say a full-on fired because he wasn't fired.
No, he's drawing a paycheck. He's still got a different job. He's in the organization.
He was removed from his position in terms of scouting, and rightfully so. I've detailed the draft failures as they stand right now. It is a remarkably short list of people they have drafted in their entire time here that have emerged at all to the big leagues and done things of consequence. It's Chris Bryant. It's Kyle Schwarber. And in terms of the Cubs, it's lately Nico Horner. It's Ian Happ. It's Albert Almora. And a lot of those guys are underwhelming. Pitching-wise, it's James Norwood.
I will say, you're right. I mean, pitching-wise, Dylan Cease is the best. The trade chip is the best pitcher in the, the Cubs brought to the majors. It just brought it to the South Side. But I will say this. Now, you mentioned, I knew you'd get to Almora. And it's kind of fitting that Jason McLeod's first draft choice comes at a time when Jason McLeod gets removed from that position because Albert Almora has been bucked down, exposed. They wouldn't need Nicholas Castellanos if Albert Almora could have hit left-handed pitching last year.
I don't think there's a spot for him on this team next year.
Not even fourth or fifth outfielder? No.
Fifth outfielder at best in a 26-man, a 26-man roster because, remember, we have a 26th man next year. But
okay.
But
sixth
still,
outfielder. Okay, so but it's interesting.
He's not fast enough really to be a pinch runner.
It's so in the idea of what have you done for me lately is certainly when you're talking about the window of windows, that needs to be asked. Guys need to pay for something for failures there. But Bryant, Schwarber started the rally. Bryant was part of the rally and he threw to first to get the final out. Albert Almora, the headsiest base running play in the World Series. That was huge.
Advancing from first to second on a deep fly ball out.
Yes. And would score that run.
Yep.
And it was so for that moment, that freeze frame, right? That's that paid off. Now going forward, that's why I never thought if you look at that inning, you look at that game, you look at that postseason.
Yeah.
I'm stunned Theo Epstein's organization feels so far behind.
Well, I was looking for the exact wording, but I'll paraphrase.
Of what?
Of what Theo said about his failures as a leader. And they fell in love with their own guys. He flat out admitted it in that
postseason.
Well,
he finally joined the chorus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that being said on these airwaves on Saturday morning.
Yeah, but he said it.
Yeah.
He said it. That he fell in love with their own guys. They thought their guys were going to be better, and he needs to do a better job of divorcing himself from those kind of feelings towards some of the players.
A lot of hollow talk last year when he said, we need to get out of projections and debate it on production.
Right, production over potential.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, here you are, and there's no avoiding it. And I don't think that opinion is relegated to just, you know, the usual suspects that have been discussed in that way, like Almora and Happ and stuff like that.
Bryant and Baez and Contreras.
I think they thought Bryant and Rizzo were going to be Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz.
Yes.
And they're not.
They saw that movie before and they saw that in them.
Right.
Right.
And they're not.
No.
So I think they thought Bryant would just keep going on this impossible trajectory that he was on.
But he was, he was.
He's leveled
and he's
off.
Gotten hurt.
He's leveled off into an excellent player.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has not.
He's not surpassed Mike Trout.
No.
And maybe they had designs on that.
I think they thought that he was going to be incredibly special. He's not incredibly alarmingly special. He's good. He's very, very good.
We came into this discussing the manager, and there's a point I wanted to bring up with you because we don't have a metric. We can't. Everybody has different ideas about what a manager's worth in terms of actual number of games. You know, he can measure war, he can measure whatever the metrics, analytics are, whatever the old statistics are. So let me run this by you that I think, I don't know how many wins you thought Joe Maddon was could account for in a year or how many losses. But there's a great managers have a resounding effect. And I don't know how many games this is. Joe Maddon's best move came in August of 2015, that series against the Giants, because they're coming into August and he's saying, here's the team we're chasing. And Joe said at the Cubby Bear when he got hired, I'm going to be talking playoffs immediately. Get used to it. That's when he pulled Jason Hammel in the third inning or fourth inning. But certainly earlier than he ever have. And he had benched Starlin Castro for that year. They swept the Giants. They went on to 2015. It was a wonderful breakthrough year. And it was all happening so fast. So how many wins is that? does a manager account for?
Yeah,
he had a resounding effect.
He did.
So does David
the swapping? That's the swapping of Russell and Castro, essentially.
It is. That's telling everybody this guy who had been the future along with Rizzo, right? Yeah. We'd been sold that for a lot of years. He's sitting down. This guy's going to play, and we're playing. And by the way, that guy doesn't get to finish on the mound. You have to earn the next out, earn the next inning, earn that next. So that resounded. Does that count of 2 months worth of victories?
It's a lot.
And
yeah, he was a huge part of the culture propelling them as far as they went in 15 and 16. That's why no matter how much he will always be remembered for some of the failures that almost cost them the World Series, without his culture build, they're not there.
Right.
They're not.
And do you see David Ross, Joe Girardi? Well, I don't know Joe Espada, other than he comes from a quality organization and has a lot of, he's sort of the Zelig of all the greatness that baseball has. Do you see them capable of that moment? And I guess we never know until they're in that moment.
Correct.
So I just want to bring that up because the debating a manager's worth, that moment, that series against the Giants made the Cubs what they were going to be that year and the year after.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to have a number. You know it when you see it, right? You know it. And that's the thing about like some of these, the way that the Nationals played in the wild card game, down 3-1 against the Brewers, the way that they played in Game 5 of the NLDS, down 3-1 against the Dodgers, the way that they have played since those first 50 games, I don't have a number for that. I don't know if it's Dave Martinez or if it's the collective of this a bunch of very good players saying, damn it, we're better than this. What the F? And then they have just kept it together, and Juan Soto doesn't care about pressure. He's 20, and somehow he's really 35. I mean, whatever it is.
There's a Miguel Cabrera-ness about
there
his
sure is.
Youth, looseness, being able to hit in the clutch as if he just doesn't, it doesn't get to him.
It does not faze him. So, but whatever that unquantifiable personal thing that the Nationals have.
And it remains unquantifiable.
Sure. And I'm comfortable with that. And guess what? They know that's a thing.
Yeah, they do.
They know it's a thing.
Right. And they'll see if they get that. If that is Ross's personality, I think that's going to be the guy. They want the room police, the sergeant at arms. All right, we'll see if we can do that. All right, we'll take a break. Saturday Suckage will continue. We'll welcome Julie and Maggie next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's what owners get to do. That's what owners get to do. They get to say that.
I guess, but
they don't have to stand up for it if they don't want.
Man, but like when I have long been looking for the sucker at the table for MLB trade conversations and free agent dealings. And these days, the sucker presents itself when ownership gets involved and either spends stupid money or restricts the money in a way that hampers a front office. And that Phillies owner is a buffoon.
Did Tom Ricketts restrict the money? You're nodding. We don't radio.
Just speak up.
If you're talking about spotting the sucker at the table, okay.
I think so.
He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We welcome in Julie DeCaro, Maggie Hendricks.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, ladies.
We're fine. I'm struggling. I don't have my winter clothes out yet, so I wasn't anticipating the temperature drop.
They told you it was going to drop 15 degrees every hour yesterday.
I was like, they always say stuff like that. It never happens.
And it felt
it happened.
It felt like we went from summer to winter very quickly. Like my light coat, I got to wear it like one day.
Well,
and then it was no longer nice light coat.
Did you enjoy those 15 minutes of fall?
It's coming
such
back.
A cute jacket.
I like this weather. I'm all for it.
You like this particular weather?
Yes.
40 degree weather.
Yeah, I do not. Sunny, cold,
I don't like
leaves are changing. Oh, yes.
No. See, yeah. Yesterday was my jam.
644-6767. Until tell Julie why she's wrong.
Until it got really cold yesterday in the late afternoon or early evening. Yesterday was my jam. I like overcast, steady light rain, yep. Like low 50s, maybe
especially
high 40s.
Night.
It's I find it very thoughtful. It's like very Hemingway-esque out there. I could like walk around and think about the happiness and sadness.
And
think
get
about
super
Henri.
Drunk and beat up women?
No, not that version of Hemingway.
Okay, all right. I just feel like we should always talk about him and all of his characteristics.
I didn't know you were a Hemingway absolutist.
I'm a Hemingway eye roller at.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I could have gone. It's philosophical. That
it is philosophical weather. Yes. It was good, like ordering in food and watching movies kind of weather, too,
mm-hmm.
which is what I did last night.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight. And no, not Michael Keaton. We were having this discussion off the air because The Dark Knight was on, and that is the best because of Heath Ledger. That's it. Michael Keaton, no. He's the night shift guy.
Once our show starts in 9 minutes, we will tolerate no Michael Keaton slander. So mm-hmm. you've got...
So get it out while you can.
8 minutes
like
and 40
guy,
seconds left.
But just not. He's sorry, that wasn't the best movie.
He was
the best
movie. Batman.
There was a... And years ago, and you'll remember this because you'll know this because we always run into, in LA, no matter where you go, there you are surrounded by some kind of star, somebody on TV, somebody mm-hmm. in a movie. So having drinks with a guy from 240 Robert, Matthew Perry's dad, John Bennett Perry, and his wife, we're having drinks.
I thought you were going to meet Keith Morrison. I was super excited.
Walk in, three young actors, one of whom is Dennis Dugan, who would be Richie Brockelman. Who replaced Jim Rockford and would go on to direct a lot of them. Another guy named Peter Jurassic, who was in all the MTM shows.
I love his park.
And and the other one was this guy I'd never heard of. His name would turn out, his name was Michael Keaton.
Oh, wow.
He had just finished a movie. Yeah, I just finished a movie. It was
Night
called
Shift?
Night Shift.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. Henry Winkler. Well, that's a good guy to be with. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We end up at 2 a.m. The three of them came in one car. And we'd had sufficient to drink that when we got to John Bennett Perry's house, that one of them opened the gas tank and unzipped his fly.
Oh, God.
And the owner of the car said, no, don't. And the guy with the unzipped fly said, don't worry, it's unleaded. To have that presence of mind.
That's excellent.
3 a.m.
Good line.
Yeah, that's an excellent line.
That's well done. Oh,
so God. He's the night shift guy to me.
Well, that is what happens in L.A. One time I was living out there, I was at Ralph's. I was at the supermarket. And
Ralph's,
I was in the produce section of Ralph's, and I hear behind me, I hear, la, 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 la. And I turn around, and it's Bjork.
Oh, my God.
Picking through
in
melons.
In her swan?
Yeah, no.
She wearing the swan?
Just fairly normal clothes, but it's like, oh, wow, that's Bjork looking through the catalog.
La, 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 la. That happened to a friend of mine was at a playground in L.A. with her son. And her son, like, you know, like kids do on playgrounds, they befriend some random people and all that. And so then the kid's mother came and sat down and started talking to my friend. And she looked over and it was Claire Danes. And she was like, oh. And, I mean, I grew up as an acolyte of my so-called life, as did my friend. So, like, Claire Danes is a big deal to us. And she just had to, like... keep acting like, oh, it's normal. It's just another mom.
I would immediately be like, when is Homeland coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Tongue-tied? Was she drooling?
Did
she need
Jay
a drool
Buhner?
Cup?
She was like texting me, like, give me strength and tell me cool things to say to Claire Danes. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Cool things to say to Claire Danes.
It's like, why are you, first of all, why are you asking me for cool things?
I'm the next Oprah.
Shortly after I came back from L.A., Tributosaurus was the house band for Lynn Bramer for a Cubs home opener, opening day at Yaxies. And it was a great day. And then at one point, Andy Avalos came by, the weather guy from Channel 5.
Ooh.
And the place went crazy. And my friend turned to me and he said, you're back in Chicago, which is fine, you know, which is good.
But tell them.
They don't care when the weather person shows up in L.A.
In L.A., though, the weather guy goes on stage to do stand-up comedy or he hosts Wheel of Fortune for 30 years.
True.
That's what weather guys do in L.A. Here, they just walk into a Yoxies.
They walk into a Yoxies, take their applause, and get gone.
I mean, when we do remotes,
kiss the ring.
When we do remotes with Lance, like, oh my gosh, the reaction that Lance Briggs gets is just like, he's the greatest man in the whole wide
because
world.
Because L.A. has real celebrities.
Right.
Chicago does not.
So
the athletes become the celebrities. We, by runoff, become celebrities as well. Look, in L.A., sports.
Jeff Garland, Jim Belushi.
Stop.
Vince Vaughn.
Don't give me any
John Cusack. Those are, is that about it?
Yeah.
Maybe AD Bryant.
See, when you used to get, when Lakers play in the finals, the bigger names are still watching the games.
Yeah.
They were in the seats, starting with Jack. Mm. And
Diane Cannon.
Yeah. We've got
Denzel.
We've got Michael Shannon. Yes. Michael Shannon still hangs out here all the time.
I see Michael Shannon on the L.
Yeah, he hangs out all the time.
Yeah. And it always freaks me out every time I see Michael Shannon on the L because he has the exact same intense stare on the L.
Because that's just him.
That's just him. And but it is unnerving because you know how sometimes you just end up staring at people on the L because of the way you're seated.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he was completely staring at me for like from Lakeview all the way downtown. Yeah. And I was, by the end of it.
He was doing research. He's playing a female sports talk host in an upcoming film.
Uh-oh. By the end of it, I was like shaking. Like, I can't handle this anymore.
I would have had plenty of things to say about The Shape of Water and how much I hated it. Just look across the aisle and be like, he was a fish. He was a fish. Fish.
Okay, I haven't
fish
seen
love
that.
Story. It was a terrible movie.
I think I've liked everything I've seen him in, especially the reading of the sorority girl's letter. That might have been his best work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Boardwalk Empire. So don't go near any bodies of water with the mags.
Oh, no.
That's what I would just.
I think that's a good idea.
I would leave it at that.
Mm. We got two baseball games coming up, two LCS games coming up. We have a Bears bye tomorrow. What are you guys doing today? Talking about stuff.
Still trying to figure out what went wrong with the Bears and why they can't get the offense going. And then we're going to talk some MLB and all the managerial openings, talk a little marathon, lots of stuff to do.
All right.
Julie and Maggie.
We'll get out of the way. We want to thank no guests. We're going to thank Stifler for producing the last couple hours. Thank Billy Joel for having tickets we can give away. Thank Zach Withers for getting that hockey. Let's do that hockey. Matt Spiegel, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Saturday Suckage, WB Club. We are waking and baking, and now we're leaving, making way for Julie and Maggie, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.